During the summer of 1968, Robert Persick took a trip across the American West on a Honda Superhawk motorcycle. 5 years prior to that trip, he had been incarcerated in a mental hospital where he was forced to undergo 27 sessions of electric shock therapy. He woke up one morning in the hospital, not knowing where he was, nor who the people attending him were. Far more significantly, he did not remember who he was.
Hi, I'm Dennis Davis, a local filmmaker from the Bozeman area.
And I'm Manola Carter, a film producer from Tucson, Arizona.
We're making a documentary about Robert Persick and his best-selling book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
We are calling it Persick's Journey.
So Manolo, where did we leave off in the last episode?
The last episode, we left off that Persick was rummaging through his boxes that were just filled with things that he had written before he got thrown in the mental hospital.
Well, he was committed there because he had expressed a little bit of antisocial behavior, even waving a gun around. But
Maybe more than a little.
In any case, he went through 27 sessions of shock therapy, and that eradicated his memory. So when he gets out of the hospital, he's interested in discovering who he had been. What was he up to? And what caused him to enter into the mental hospital to begin with? And what caused his breakdown? When you have to rebuild your identity, I think that you're really fascinated about those ideas. Who the heck was I that got me incarcerated? And why did they think that I had to go through 27 sessions of shock therapy, court ordered?
But in Persick's case, he had written just piles and piles of notes and his discoveries before his mental breakdown. So that's a big advantage he had over other people, I would assume.
And why did he have that? It's probably because he was developing a new philosophy. He was pursuing the idea of quality, and he had to define it, and he had to take notes about it because he wanted to get his master's degree to give him credibility as a philosopher that he wanted to submit to the University of Chicago. And so he had taken copious notes because he was working it out and intended to use it later. That's what I think.
Well, this brings up a good question because he was a teacher of rhetoric and English composition or technical writing from 59 to 61. In 61, he had applied to get his master's at Chicago University. When he had packed up his family, they were ready to go on the road, he received a letter stating that he was not accepted into the master's program. But he went anyways. He said, "Let's just go. I got a job teaching rhetoric at the University of Illinois at the town of Navy Pier. I've been accepted to take courses at Chicago University." So I bring this up because now we're saying that Persick had written documents prior to being in the university at Chicago. Which, did he write those papers, those notes, all that research while he was a teacher at Bozeman State College? That would be the case, because when he had that epiphany after Sarah Vinke, his colleague, said, "Are you teaching quality to your students?" Persick, he just stayed single-mindedly focused trying to figure out what quality was. Actually, the fact is that he had written a paper called Quality in Freshman Writing that he submitted to the Rocky Mountain Modern Language Association about his discoveries teaching the kids about quality.
He goes to the University of Chicago in Illinois, and by Thanksgiving, he's starting to have his breakdown. That's not a very long period of time.
No, it's not.
Not only was he taking philosophy courses and studying very, very hard, he was at the same time teaching rhetoric to students at the University of Illinois. So the box of materials that he rifled through and learned about his previous self before he lost his memory had to have been written while he was still in Bozeman.
Yeah, he probably wrote the bulk of all those notes when he was in Bozeman discovering about quality. And then surely he continued writing notes when he was in Chicago, right?
I'm sure that had to be the case. He was in hot pursuit of his ideas. I think that he would continue to write while he was in Chicago.
Exactly. I recall him saying in an interview that after Sarah told him that, he actually stayed in his office staring at the wall, thinking, what the heck is quality?
Right. So her simple question, "Are you teaching quality to your students this semester?" became the seed crystal around which his entire philosophical output was developed. From that little seed grew what we call now the metaphysics of quality and two books. One, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and the other is Leela.
Persick didn't go into this cold turkey. He actually had started thinking about higher concepts about life in his early age. In fact, as a 9-year-old, Robert was hyper smart. He had an IQ of 170. The top 1% of the people in the world have that.
Very rare. And so they actually put him in university when he was 15 years old.
15 years old, and he was majoring in biochemistry and biology, both at the same time at age 15. Interesting enough, within 2 years, though, he was getting kicked out of school.
Well, he was flunking his classes. He got frustrated. Why did he get frustrated? Because he saw that there was an infinite number of hypotheses that could be used to describe any given phenomena, and that what was considered to be the truth was the collective opinion of scientists saying, well, that seems to be the best hypothesis to explain it. But you never really could arrive at the absolute truth. There was always room for another hypothesis that might better explain some of the phenomena. So he got bored with science after a while.
Yeah, he totally got bored. He started goofing off in class, not paying attention, being disruptive. So the teacher said, forget it. He actually got expelled from school, age 17.
And he began what he calls a lateral drift. He was adrift. So he joins the army.
He joins the army. And he was sent to Korea at the end of World War II. And he was sent to Korea to pick up after the Japanese.
That's right. They had occupied these certain areas in Korea, and they had abandoned those. And he was in one of those. And he was actually on malaria patrol. He got involved with a young man that he thought was quite a young genius, and spent $16 to get this young Korean kid an education. That changed his entire relationship with the Koreans. He started to get along with them.
Well, he discovered that genius people are found wherever. Because here's this kid, he's 16 years old, and he speaks perfect English. And Percy goes, hey, where did you learn English? And he goes, oh, I just picked it up.
Right, and that caused him to be very popular with the Koreans in that small area. One of the things that happened at that time was that he had made this claim that what amazed him about the English language is that 26 letters could explain anything in the entire universe, and the Koreans just said,
no, a flat no. And he was left aghast because they wouldn't pursue the answer any further.
That started him thinking, well, can you really describe all of the universe with just 26 letters? Or maybe the universe is so mysterious and large, you can't totally understand it or come up with conceptions that really explain it away.
Eventually, that was what he started thinking. Now he was discharged honorably from his duties in Korea. He was sent back home. On the way there, he read a book by F.S.C. Northrop, Meeting of East and West. Now, this is a very thick book, very detailed, and he said he would have never read the book if he was under a different circumstance, because luckily for him, he was stuck in a ship with a bunch of people with nothing to do. Yes, they had their duties, but overall, there was a lot of free time. So he read the book from front page to the last page, and he really absorbed and digested that information in there.
And what's important about that is not only did he get exposure to Eastern philosophy, but he came to the conclusion that it was philosophy that could lead you to the absolute truth that his idealistic nature wanted to understand.
Prior to entering the military, remember, he got kicked out of school. He was adrift. He joined the army. He was there for a year and a half. On his way back, he read the book. And now he actually had purpose in his life once again. So when he got back to Minneapolis, he enrolled at Minnesota University to study philosophy.
Yeah, the same school that had kicked him out in science. Now he goes back there and he studies philosophy.
Right. By age 21, he already had his BA in philosophy. Imagine that. Join us again next time as we continue the conversation about Persig. Phaedrus and out.
Come along on this journey with us.
We invite your support as together we make this documentary project reality.
Visit us at www.persigsjourney.com.